guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
I hope you will like it.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Paranormal Hotline Podcast. My name's Kaylee and I'm joined by my co-ghost, Oisin.
Ooh, hello.
Oisin, who's finally back from Japan.
I'm back. I'm back with a vengeance.
This is our first time recording in a little while, yeah.
A little while.
How was it? How was your trip to Japan, dude? You didn't get the curse, obviously didn't get you, did it?
No, the curse didn't get me. You know, I either left it there, I brought it home, or it just happened in like such a negligible way. That's what I'm hoping.
You didn't do anything in Japan to try and negate the curse, no?
I visited a lot of shrines and a lot of temples.
You're like begging for forgiveness.
Yeah, something like that. No, for like mostly just to see them.
Yeah.
But then, yeah. I'd like to think that I was, you know, I purified myself from the curse. That's what I'm going with.
Woohoo! Oisin's cured,
I'm free,
everybody!
I'm free!
That's fair. Yeah, anything else spooky that you saw over there or anything?
Yeah, there's one park and it's rumored to be one of the most haunted parks in Tokyo.
Oh, when you say park now, is this like a park with
like a green
forest,
a green space?
Okay.
Not really a forest, there's trees. It's more, you know, like a town park, a city park.
Right.
There's a bit of history there. I'll probably get into it next week. And I have some pictures as well to show you. It just...
Oh, sweet.
Something about... It felt eerie. There was something
really
off about the place. There was a vibe got, and my girlfriend who was traveling with me also got the vibe. So, I don't know. Don't know if there's something there.
Okay.
Don't know if it's because I knew about it. There was like an odd stillness about the place.
That's weird. I can't imagine having a weird vibe. there's a park up in Dublin. One of them up in Dublin has an elephant buried underneath it.
I think I've heard of this before.
Yeah. Apparently an elephant died in the zoo and they didn't know what to do with the body or something. And I think some of the surgeon students were dissecting it, you know, because why not? And they, to dispose of the body, just buried it in the park outside.
Oh my God.
So you never know what you're walking on.
Yep.
Yeah, so, right, okay, let's just get into today's episode. So today's episode is featuring a creature that has been seen all over Ireland, but it's a creature that is more specifically spotted in Scotland in a mountain range called Ben MacDhui. And it's a really, really large mountain. It's the second largest peak in the UK. So really tall mountain. It's the kind of place in Scotland that people like go skiing, like it actually gets proper snow up there and stuff, you know?
Oh, sweet. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we don't really have the likes of it here, unfortunately. But the majority of the cases take place in this mountain range in Scotland. So, in 1890, so it's a good while back, a professor known as John Norman Colley was on an expedition in this mountain range, which, you know, in the 1890s even, was a lot more remote than it is today. You know, today you could like drive near it, you can get pretty close to it, but back then it was really, really remote mountain range. And he had a strange experience on the mountain that he didn't talk about for like 30 years. And it wasn't until 1925 when Professor John Norman Colley, so he went to present at the 1925 annual general meeting of the Cairngorm Club. I think it was actually a cairn up on top of, you know, like an old Celtic cairn circle on the top of the mountain range too. So it is just generally quite ancient and spooky vibe up there.
It's the best place for them, really.
Yeah, so he was at this conference, this meeting, in 1925. So it was a good 35 years after he had his encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was kind of shocked when he spoke about his paranormal stuff, because he never normally talked about paranormal things. He's a very scientific man. But this is what he had to say about his experience up on Ben MacDhui. Such a cool name. I was returning from the cairn on the summit in a mist when I began to think I heard something else. Then, merely the noise of my own footsteps. For every few steps, I heard a crunch, and then another crunch, as if someone was walking after me, but taking steps three or four times the length of my own. I said to myself, this is all nonsense. I listened and heard it again, but could not see into the mist. As I walked away and the eerie crunch, crunch sounded behind me, I was seized with terror and took to my heels, staggering blindly among the boulders for 4 or 5 miles, nearly down to Rothy Mercus Forest. What a name. Whatever you make of it, I do not know, but there is something very queer about the top of Ben MacDhui. and I will not be going back there myself, I know. So he refused to return there by himself as well. So he's walking down. There's like a strange mist kind of comes around him. And for every like two or three steps that he's taking, he's hearing like a giant step right behind him crunching on the leaves. And he's so scared by this that he starts bolting down the side of the mountain, like through boulders and stuff, to try and get away from it.
Gotta go descend it, like.
Yeah, pretty terrifying. So it's a, it's so weird. It's a creature that a few people have spotted in that mountain range. So he's not the only person to have encountered this. And the creature he encountered that day would kind of become known as Amfarlia Mór, which is like the Scottish... I think the name is technically Scottish in origin, but it's actually written in nearly the same way in Irish. Is there any words there that you might be able to translate for us, Oisín? Amfarlia Mór?
The big grey man.
That's literally it. The only difference between the Scottish writing and the Irish writing is that they use an M in on, and so they say Amfarlia Mór, and we say on. So very similar, but yeah, it's literally, it literally translates as the big grey man. It sounds so like mysterious in like the Celtic, like Amfarlia Mór.
Yeah.
The, you know, the big grey fella up in the mountains. So once Professor John came forward with his story, he started receiving letters from lots of other adventurers or locals of the area who also had experienced something strange up in Ben MacDhui. Another climber named Alex Tunyon also had a strange encounter with the creature, but he actually saw a physical creature this time.
Holy shit.
And he actually fired his gun at the creature. So Alexander even was walking up the mountain when a thick mist, this is a very common thing, you'll just get this mist suddenly surrounding you, and he heard somebody approaching him through the mist, very similar to the first professor, John. It suddenly just started running like full speed at him, and he freaked out, and then like suddenly he's seeing this person like or this really tall, like 7-8 foot tall thing running at him.
Oh no
through the mist. So he just like, this man just whips out his revolver and shoots at the creature. He opens fire at it, and apparently it just disappeared and ran away.
Pew, pew.
Yeah. It's so funny because this is in Scotland, and so many times in this podcast we're like, oh, those crazy Americans with their guns shooting at everything in the mist out in the woods, but this is a perfect case of it happening in Scotland.
If I was being jumped by the tall grey man,
yeah,
you know, I'd be wishing I could shoot him.
Sure. I don't think I would start opening fire at him. Like, maybe he needs assistance, you know?
Maybe. Help, my kids need help. Sprinting towards you.
Just open fire.
I mean you no harm.
It's so weird. So, lots of people have described a strange feeling of being watched on a hike. And that's kind of the main thing that you hear. You'll either hear somebody heard a humming or someone singing a high tune in the middle of the mist. So it's always like a mist will fall and people will hear things. So it's sometimes like they'll hear like a singing hum, kind of like a but like really kind of high pitched is how they described it. Okay. Or they'll hear the terrifying sound of something running right at them at full speed up a mountain, which is terrifying.
It's so scary.
Some people will even hear it walking down the mountain slowly, like almost mimicking their footsteps, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Some people have seen a misty shape, like walking out of the mist at them and stuff, but not much sightings. Most of this is people will hear him. It's such a strange thing, but it always nearly comes back to the mist, to be honest. So this creature, or this man, this Farlia, or grey man, has been spotted in Ireland too. Like I said earlier, he's seen in Ireland as well as Scotland. And I'm not 100% on the Scottish origin of him, of this man, but he is really, really common in Ireland as well, especially when you go back further. In Ireland, Amfarlia is actually considered a fairy. And, or like a Sheeda, the Irish word for fairy is a Sheeda, and sometimes he's referred to as a Sheeda. And the stories go back like a really long time, like long, long time. There's stories of him, stories with like Fionn Mac Cuil and stuff, like we're talking Celtic, very old stories. In the west parts of Ireland, specifically in Kerry, Galway and Sligo, he is known as Old Bones. That's the name for the Farlia or Grey Man. Yeah, Old Bones in Kerry, Galway and Sligo. And then in North Antrim, on Farlia is called Bro Lagan, which basically just means a formless or shapeless thing.
You know, he's not really like escaping the creepiness factor here.
No, he's actually just getting more and more creepy, actually. Because when I first looked into this, I was like, oh, a grey man who's seen in, like, a hairy grey man who's seen in Scotland. I was like, oh, it's just going to be, like, a Scottish Bigfoot. And then the more I looked into this, I was like, oh, no, this is, like, a fairy, scary man who lives in the mist.
Yeah.
It just gets scarier and scarier.
I feel like we're back in, like, you know, 2011, and it's, like, Slender Man all over again.
Yeah, it's kind of got that vibe just because of the mist.
Yeah, the mist.
But in the story with Fionn McCool, in the like Celtic story, on Farlia turned some woman or some fairy woman into a goat or something. It was either a goat or like some sort of mountain, you know, like
mm-hmm.
a sheep or something, because she didn't love him back or something. And then she has to go and like fall in love with Fionn McCool, and it's a whole thing.
What the fuck's wrong with men, huh?
I don't know, man. I feel sorry for the women in the stories mostly because it, like, her cure was to go find, I think, like, true love or something. As a goat. If you've ever had, like, it's probably really common in Ireland anyway, but you know those kind of, like, misty, rainy days where it just feels miserable? Everything's damp and cold.
A soft day.
A very misty kind of day.
Yeah.
Where you just like can't seem to get warm or dry by the fire. Like no matter how big the fire is, you always feel kind of like wet.
That's because your soul is wet.
That means that Farlia is around.
Oh.
So he apparently like eats the smoke that comes out of a chimney. So when you light the fire, he's there eating the smoke out of the chimney. Kind of like fuel his mist or something. I don't know. But that's what he's doing. He's like sucking the warmth out of the fire basically. So he can't like get warm.
Turns your house into one big vape.
He's taking rips out of the chimney, like, oh, just sitting on the chimney with big red eyes. That's what the Mothman really is. It's just the stoned Farlia eating all the smoke.
You're burning the turf.
Yeah. It's funny because I think the article that I read had, like specifically mentioned the turf getting wet. So. But he's blamed for a lot of like mist-related accidents in Ireland as well. Like, say if a ship couldn't see rocks along the shore and crashed into it, that would be blamed on a Farlia. Or if you were lost in the mountains because of a random mist like appeared that wasn't forecast, that was on Farlia as well. In the town of Ballycastle in North Antrim, that's like a place that they really, really specifically hate on Farlia because they're right along the coast. They have a cliff walk that you can do, and on these cliffs there's kind of gaps every now and again. You need to be able to see where you're going, but this landmark is known as the Grey Man's Path, and the locals will go out of their way to avoid it, especially if the weather has taken a turn for the worst, because if the Grey Man sees you in the area, he'll make mist appear and then you'll fall over the edge of the cliff.
Just boot you.
But
off
the whole path is known as Grey Man's Path.
That's very cool, you know that.
Isn't it?
It's terrifying but cool.
I just, the idea, like, could you imagine walking along the cliff and it just, like, gets misty and then you hear somebody running at you at full speed?
Oh my god.
I'd be so expecting somebody to just run and shove me off the cliff. It'd be so terrifying.
That's it. Goodbye.
Yeah. I would start firing then. I think that's the point where I start firing a gun if I'm on a cliff edge. I'd probably fire a few warning shots up first, though, right?
I was going to say, like, when I was saying I was going to fire earlier on the mountain, I was also including, you know, having to find a weapon. Because I wouldn't be carrying.
You wouldn't have whip a revolver out on you in the first
place. My Gallybander.
Yeah, the good old slingshot. I got you a good slingshot. You got to use it against the Farlia.
You did.
But there are things you can do to avoid him. Don't go hiking in the mountain if the weather is forecast to be bad. You know, that seems like an obvious. You shouldn't do that anyway. Apparently, he is mostly seen during autumn and the start of winter. So you're kind of good this time of the year. I think he's like hibernating or something. Or, you know, he's taking too many rips of the chimney and he's napping somewhere in the mountains. Apparently, if you say a prayer you can temporarily get Unfarlia to leave you alone for a little while.
With a prayer.
If you say a prayer, you can get him to go away for a little while, but he will return with a vengeance. So maybe don't do that. He doesn't
want
that.
Can you just keep on stacking prayers? Like, how big does his vengeance get?
He'll be like, I get you next time. You're like, swipe or no swiping.
You could just swipe or no swipe. The-
Yeah, that's basically what you're doing. You say the all, you know, our father or whatever, and scare him away every time. He's like a pantomime character. Yeah, that's one of the things you can do to, like, scare him away. But like all fairies, you can also scare him away with a piece of iron. So apparently if you, like, you know, like, actual, like, what is the word for pure iron? Like, high concentrated iron?
Like a ferrite? Ferrous? It needs ferrous to be, metals?
Like, yeah. I don't know, like, as pure as iron as you can find, apparently. Apparently if you use iron that was hammered without the heat of a forge, that's the stuff that fairies are really scared of. I don't know how you would do that. How do you do that?
You can shape metal with hammer. It's actually interesting because I think you can, like, if you hammer, like, iron in a particular way, it'll become magnetic.
Oh. That just sounds like magic to me. This doesn't sound
real. Yeah. How do they work, magnets?
How does that work? That is just magic. So yeah, you can say a prayer to scare them away temporarily. Just don't go out hiking in bad weather and bring an iron piece of iron with you. I assume, like, you don't have to bring a cast iron. I think iron knife is normally the best with a black handle. And you'll be fine. You'll be fine from Unfarlia. You don't have to worry about it. But what is this gray man? That's the real question. So from the first description, you would really start to think that, you know, this is just Bigfoot. He's like gray with short gray hair, about 7 to 8 foot tall, sometimes even 10 foot tall, and broad shouldered creature that's wandering around up the mountains. It sounds like a Celtic Bigfoot, doesn't it?
It does.
What makes me laugh most about this is that it fits the description of Bigfoot better than most Bigfoot stories. Like, for most of the stuff you hear about Bigfoot, it's so often only ever heard, you know, people will hear it shouting or trees falling when they encounter a Bigfoot, and very few people actually see Bigfoot. You know, they usually hear him somewhere. So I don't know, I think it fits with Bigfoot quite well. Is the Bigfoot that's in America just like a Paddy who got lost in the States? Did he go over with one of the boats?
Oh no.
Farlia, yeah. And get stuck in Minnesota or something. Yeah. The famine hits us all, you know.
We could be onto something here now.
We always come up with these mad Bigfoot theories. But, like, so many people think that Bigfoot is just, like, a magical creature now, you know? So many people think that Bigfoot is, like, supernatural and can disappear and stuff now. So I think Unfarlia fits the bill perfectly, you know?
He definitely fits that bill.
But there is one more thing. And this one's more skeptical, but let's face it, very likely answer is that Unfarlia is some kind of optical illusion in the mountains. More specifically, the Brocken Spectres. Have you ever heard of the Brocken Spectres before?
I haven't.
Spectre. It's a very strange thing that can happen when people are hiking high up in the mountains. The Met website describes it as, when an observer stands on a hill, which is partially enveloped in mist and in such a position that their shadow is thrown onto the mist, they get the illusion that the shadow is a person seen dimly through the mist. The illusion is that this person or specter is gigantic and at a considerable distance away from them. I'll send you a picture of what it kind of looks like. That's the kind of the gist of it.
I have seen this before. Because it's the last thing you expect to see in mist is your shadow.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a very specific way that you have to be. So the mist has to be like behind you kind of, or in front of you, and a light source hitting you from the other side so that you cast the shadow onto this mist. And it's supposed to look mental. But anyone listening at home, I'd recommend Googling what this illusion looks like. I'll upload it to the Discord for the Patreons, but you should be able to see it, Oshin. It's a really, really cool effect that kind of just casts you onto the shadow, onto the clouds even.
Yeah.
But it also makes it look way bigger, so you'd be way taller in the shadow.
I can imagine it being particularly uncanny because it's not just an image, it's a shadow, so it moves.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that would make it particularly strange.
It would freak you out, wouldn't it?
It would. You caught that at the corner of your
eye. The only thing with it, though, is that it's... Well, from any of the pictures or videos I've looked at it, it's... they always seem to be kind of off the ground a bit. You know, there's never... It never looks like there's a person walking on the ground. They're always floating in this kind of mist. So that's one of the things that I'm like, could this, like, could someone really look at that in this, like, this floating shadow of themselves and think that's a person coming up?
Maybe. I mean, it could just be someone real tall.
That's true. I mean, the only other thing I could think of this, that on Farlia could be is, remember before we covered the, the only other thing I could think of is that it's the third man syndrome, which we covered.
Third man factor
that we covered in an episode
before.
It's the same thing. But it could be something like that too, you know, imagining a person there with you, but this one's not helpful at all.
No.
And has taken the form of a scary Irish god, pretty much.
You don't mistake this one for, like, you know, God being helpful or anything. But
no, he's
maybe,
straight
maybe
up
an
hates
old Irish
humans.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, that, well, that's pretty much what it is. It pretty much is just an ancient Irish god, and everyone hates him and he hates people. It is interesting to me that people are still see this or still hear him and stuff to this day, you know? Even though it's such an old story. And they have a whole pathway that they avoid up an Antrim for it. Yeah, what do you think of him, Farlia? Do you think it's real, or do you think it's the illusion? What do you think of it?
I really don't know, because the first instance of it, now again, you know, we're grouping a lot of, like, accounts into one. The first account was just noise.
Well, that wasn't the first account. That was just the first one we covered.
Yeah, yeah. The second one that we covered was very... It was similar, but then he saw something. That was around the same time he was kind of following your man's footsteps. Am I right in saying that?
The first one that we talked about happened in 1890. The second one was in 1945,
I
believe.
Sorry.
So there was a good time difference between them.
But it was on the same end.
Yeah, most of the Scottish ones are in that same mountain range.
I don't know. I think there's probably multiple things at play there.
Yeah,
personally.
You think?
Yeah. Part of me really wants, like, an old god to be around still, but, like, the rest of me is like, no, that would be horrific. I don't want a vengeful god, like, or vengeful spirit.
He's not vengeful. He's not coming... Well, the only time he's shown vengeance was when people prayed at him, but other than that, he's just, you know... He just catches people in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then he's like, all right, that's it for you.
I don't think that's...
Except for that one girl, he turned into a goat.
Don't get turned into a goat. That would be... Well, I mean... Reincarnated.
I think she was a goat for something like 200 years.
Oh my god.
She could only eat grass and drink water from a local stream. Why does that happen so much in Irish mythology?
A lot of animal fun. Does it just... Oh, hey, you're swans now.
I curse you to be a swan for 200 years. What a shit curse. That's everything we have for today on Farlia Moore, Big Grey Man. It's such a silly one. I love it so much.
He's good.
I love when it's Irish as well, because it is actually something that we can keep an eye out for.
When you said it, I was like, another one.
Yeah, another one. DJ Carlin. That's everything we have for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. If there's anything you'd like us to cover, send us an email at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you on that. But until then, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm back, baby.